Come, Holy Spirit, come by the most powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse.
It's one of the challenges for us as disciples of Christ living 2,000 years later, many of us having lived our entire life as Christians, as Catholics, or at least for many years probably. It's a challenge that I've mentioned before, is that we get used to these mysteries. We get used to these feasts. We say to ourselves, oh yeah, Easter. I've done that before. I know what that's about. And we don't always approach these mysteries of our faith that we celebrate with the proper magnitude, the proper awe, the proper wonder. Our Lord's resurrection changed everything. St. Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians that if Christ is not risen, your faith is in vain. Everything that we believe and hold dear as Christians stands or falls on the claim that we make as a people this day, that the tomb did not hold him, that death did not defeat him, but that he defeated death, that he rose victorious from the dead. That, as St. Paul will tell us in our second reading today, also from 1 Corinthians, that our paschal lamb has been sacrificed. And yet he didn't remain dead, but through the power of God that dwelt in him, he rose victorious. Jesus offers his life to set us free, not just from temporal slavery, not just from temporal suffering, not just from the difficulties of life here on earth. No, he sets us free from slavery to sin. He sets us free from eternal suffering, from eternal death, and he gives us the possibility of new life. But we need to ask ourselves every year, and even more frequently than that, how has this reality, how has this truth truly changed my life? Have I truly allowed what I claim to believe about Christ be the guiding principle of everything that I do in my life? Because that's what it's worthy of. That's what it deserves. And if we relegate our faith in Christ to any place in our life other than number one, then we're not giving him the honor and the attention and the reverence that it deserves. I love this image that St. Paul uses in our second reading to clear out the old yeast and to allow the new leaven become a fresh batch of dough, right? To get rid of the old. He uses this theme often to put off the old man, to put on the new man that is Christ. Or he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. By Jesus' resurrection, we have been recreated through our baptism to a new life, a life that is focused on the things of God, the things of eternity, the things of the Spirit, the things of heaven. And yet, how often do we still kind of live the old life that is focused on the things of earth, the things of the here and the now, the things of the material, the things of the temporal? We're so willing to spend so much time and energy and money and resources and effort and stress and emotion on things that are passing and fleeting and in the end have no real significance. But we can often allow them to distract us from the things that are actually determining our eternal destiny. So this celebration, this feast of Easter, is an invitation to put off the old, to welcome the new life that Christ won for us, that he paid the price of his life for, and to rejoice that he's risen from the dead, so that death is something that leads us to our true life, something that we can look forward to and long for and strive to live now. But it's a challenge. It's a struggle for all of us. We can all kind of fall back into those human ways of thinking, those ordinary ways of living our life. This was something that even the apostles struggled with. Immediately after the resurrection, they still didn't get it. They still didn't believe. They were still kind of living an earthly perspective. Even though Jesus had told them multiple times that he's going to be killed and he's going to rise from the dead. And yet when Peter and John get to the tomb and the tomb is empty, it says that they still don't quite believe because they didn't yet understand what rising from the dead meant. And so we too sometimes don't really understand the reality that we celebrate on Easter. We don't fully appreciate the significance of the resurrection of Christ. It should change everything for us. It should determine how we live our life. It should be our number one priority. And so we have to be constantly examining ourselves and striving with the help of God's grace to recognize those areas of our life, whether that's our time, our attention, our emotional energy, what we allow to stress us or what we fixate on, our resources, our money, whatever it might be, what is it that we allow to take the place of Christ in our life, to become more important than it really should be? But each time we celebrate this feast, we're called to reorder our life, to live the new life that Christ has won for us, the life of God, the life of the Spirit, the life of heaven, the life of what is eternal and enduring. And so let's ask God for his grace on this holy feast of Easter, that we would put off the old, that we would turn away from sin, that we would turn away from selfishness and pride and sloth and all of the things that hold us back, that enslave us. And we would allow the new life that Christ has won for us to set us free so that we can truly live as an Easter people, that we can proclaim not just with our words, but more importantly with our lives, that Christ is truly risen.